Large crowds gathered in Belfast on Saturday to take part in opposing rallies on abortion. Pro-choice groups held a rally for choice at Ryder Square, while pro-life groups held a March for Their Lives event at Custom House Square. On Friday night, a reported 20,000 people gathered at Stormont as protesters walked in silence to show their opposition to what organisers described as the liberalisation of abortion. Kelly Turtle was one of the organisers of Rally for Choice. Kelly's with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning. And Bernie Smith from Precious Life. Good morning to you, Bernie.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Well, the size of the crowds at Stormont, Kelly, tell me what's in your mind about the size of that crowd.
Well, there have been conflicting reports about the size of the crowd. We know there were several thousand people there. And I can understand why a lot of people are concerned about what they're hearing around this change in law, because there is a lot of misinformation. So I understand there's people, there's well-meaning people there who are just wanting to express their views, and they're more than entitled to. It does concern me that the message that's been put out by some of the pro-life organisations has been quite misleading. They've created a fear around decriminalisation that I don't think needs to be there.
So you think some of the people who were there are mistaken?
Well,
in what way?
Because I think people have the impression that decriminalisation of abortion means that there will be absolutely no limits on abortion services, and that's not what's going to happen. What decriminalisation does is it removes the concept that abortion in and of itself is a criminal act, but that doesn't mean we won't have limits, time restrictions, criteria to be met. When this whole process is finished at the end of March, we will have abortion services in Northern Ireland. They will be highly, highly regulated. There will be time limits set. You know, all of the medical practitioners will be on board with that. We will not have this free-for-all that seems to people like Bernie and her organisation seem to be suggesting.
And if people don't adhere to that regulation that you suggest will be kicking in, what happens?
Well, that's exactly.
They won't be prosecuted.
Yes, they will be, but just it won't be prosecuted as a criminal act in and of itself. If there will be law in place that says which abortions will be lawful and which ones won't, so that will mean time limits. We may end up with time limits that are similar to what that we have in the South. We may end up with time limits that are more similar to what's in GB. We all have a chance to participate in that process because there will be consultation.
But Kelly, here's the point. By the 21st of October, from the 21st of October, abortion will be decriminalised. New legislation will not be in place, so there won't be time limits.
Well, everybody wants that process to go as quickly as possible. We don't want this vacuum where we don't know where we stand.
But there will be a vacuum. You're suggesting that there will be limits and there will be regulation. The reality is, from the 21st of October until there is regulation, there won't be.
That's for NIO to sort out, and we would urge NIO to work on that as quickly as possible. We would like these two things to be happening simultaneously.
But it's not happening simultaneously, and here you are this morning suggesting, oh, there will be limits, there will be regulation. You know there won't
be. Yes, but Stephen, what I'm trying to get across to you is I'm not defending the fact that the two things aren't happening simultaneously. I can't do anything about that.
I know you're not.
That's on NIO to make that happen as quickly as possible.
I know you're not, but when you're suggesting that there will be limits, there will be regulation, there won't be.
But also,
it is a free-for-all on the 21st of October, isn't it?
But what we also know is that there won't be services. So it's not like suddenly on the 22nd of October, the number of abortions is going to suddenly spike. We need to get services in place. At the minute, we have women using pills illegally. We think there are around 1,000 women every year in Northern Ireland that do that. We don't want to see that continue. We want to see services in place where everybody can pick up the phone, either self-refer or refer through their GP. All that still has to be worked out. We want safe, local, accessible services that everybody can use, that it's regulated, that medical practitioners are involved, that people can get the best care available, that, you know, this is what we want. Nobody wants this kind of free-for-all scenario that Bernie is scaremongering about.
Bernie Smith?
Well, I don't think Kelly actually represents very many people, and she's not a politician and she's not a lawmaker. So what she's actually been speaking on air today is absolute utter rubbish. To decriminalise abortion means to remove all safeguards for that unborn child in the womb, and in fact for women as well. And I think it was very clear on Saturday and Friday as well that the vast majority of people in Northern Ireland are opposed to a change in the law. And on Saturday...
Well, that's not clear from Saturday.
Well, it is very clear from Saturday because there was a gridlock caused because of the over 20,000 people who were in Belfast City Centre on Saturday. The police had to redirect our event because of the massive amount of people there. And the message was very clear from those people that abortion is not in our name. So regardless of what Kelly is discussing here today, people do not want to see abortion in any circumstances. And if DUP and Sinn Féin don't get the government up and running by the 22nd or 21st, on the 22nd of October, there is actually a free-for-all abortion legislation that will be introduced, abortion in any circumstances. And when she talks about the concerns about women seeking online abortion pills, women will be able to seek online abortion pills because the unborn child will be no longer protected. The unborn child will lose their personhood, lose personhood legislation, which means an abortion in any case is legal. And I mean, we're talking about the NIO. The NIO is not elected by the people of Northern Ireland. So we need DUP, we need Sinn Féin to get back into office. We need to have continuous...
Well, it's very unlikely that that's going to happen by the 21st of October, Bernie. You know that.
Well, you know, I haven't a crystal ball here. We're still very hopeful.
Do you want to bet?
Well, the pressure must be placed on the Democratic Unionist Party and Sinn Féin, because in the opinion of the people from Saturday, it's very clear abortion's not healthcare. And, you know, the arguments regarding the Irish language, the arguments regarding abortion and gay marriage should not, and in my opinion and in the opinion of other people, a language is a language, but a life is a life. And there has to be some compromise with these parties, because we cannot have the continued debate around whether a person has the right to have an Irish language or whether the person has a right to life. In the opinion of the people who were there on Friday and Saturday, we believe that life is not a privilege, it is a right.
So you want to see legislation brought in as quickly as possible to criminalise women? To prosecute women.
The law criminalises women.
Not after the 21st of October, it doesn't.
I want the law to be upheld.
Well,
it is the law itself. It's in any case, Stephen, and we've had this debate before. A law criminalises the person who breaks the law, and that would be whether they take illegal drugs or whether they...
Bernie, the point is, after the 21st of October, there will be a moratorium on that. After the 21st of October, that law will not exist.
And we want that law to continue to exist, Stephen, because that is a safeguard for an unborn child in the womb. And it's also a safeguard for women who could be attacked or injured in any way. If that law is removed, the 1861 Offences Against the Person Act, then women's lives are at risk as well.
No,
so
that's
we want
true.
In the interest of women and unborn children.
Well, I would like, first of all, to just highlight that Bernie has been making this claim that 20,000 people were at their rally, which I find surprising.
I think maybe it was a lot more than yours. 5 minute rally up and down.
It's not a numbers game, Bernie, but it's
smacks
of...
Well, it is in the sense of democracy.
Hold on, Bernie. Now, let's not
it smacks of desperation, because I do know that the legal capacity of Custom House Square is 5,000 people. So I'd like to know where the other... I think I would have noticed 15,000 people wandering around outside, which was clearly not happening.
There was 20,000 people. I mean, it was an
estimate. Hold on, Bernie. Now, let's not... Started off well, let's not shout over each other.
The issue is, though, that this is not a numbers game, because this is about human rights, and you do not secure your human rights by saying who can bring most people out onto the street. For years, we have been asking the Westminster government to take their human rights duty seriously, to produce a human rights compliant reproductive health care service for women in Northern Ireland. The 1861 Act needs to go. It needs to go across the UK, because all over the world, the United Nations and all of those health bodies are calling for decriminalisation. And in fact, all of the Royal Colleges that are relevant to this, the Royal College of Midwives, Obstetricians and Gynecologists, GPs, all of the relevant Royal Colleges all want decriminalisation. They don't want to remove all time limits and see access totally opened up to any abortion ever. That's not what this is about. But Bernie just can't seem to understand
that. What regulations would you introduce?
Well, that has to be done in consultation, and that's what's going to happen between October and March.
But if you were being consulted, Kelly, what would the time limit be for you?
I think it would be really important that no one in Northern Ireland should have to travel for an abortion, and we would look at how women currently use these services. So, for example, 80% of abortions currently happen under 10 weeks, and that's managed with pills. 90% of abortions currently happen under 13 weeks, and some of those will be pills and some will be surgical. Beyond that, you're talking about a very small number of abortions that
what
take
would the
place.
Time limit be for
but
you?
Though, but
what
you,
would you advocate?
Well, the general rule that we would go by is that abortion needs to be as accessible as possible so that women can access it early, but it also, the limit needs to be as high as possible so that women can access it who need to. For example,
but you can't
where
legislate
you get,
for that. You can't write down as high as possible and as low as possible.
But what we have in,
so
what
would
we have
the time
across,
limit be that
in the
you
rest
would be
of
advising?
The UK, the time limit is currently 24 weeks, and that would mean that no woman in Northern Ireland would have to travel out of Northern Ireland to access something that was equal to what she could get if she lived elsewhere in the UK.
And why would you object to 24 weeks, Bernie Smith?
Why would I be objecting to abortion in any circumstances, any time throughout the pregnancy? Because abortion is not health care. Abortion is life-ending, and it's life-changing for women. And the difference between Precious Life and the pro-life movement in Northern Ireland is that we care for both the mother and the unborn child. So we don't want to see abortion in any circumstances. And what actually happened on the 24th of July was very clearly undemocratic. The people of Northern Ireland, along with their elected representatives, have continued over the last number of decades to make their views very clear that abortion is not in our name. We do not want to see a change in the law. And the reality is abortion is not a human right.
Those elected representatives are impotent now in terms of their power, in terms of their power to stop this even if they want to. There is not going to be a local assembly up and going again on the 21st of October. It's not going to happen, so they have no power.
We shouldn't be forced to accept legislation that was introduced from Westminster, regardless of whether Stormont is up and running or not. What we're talking about here is indirectly direct rule.
But you can say that until you're blue in the face. It is not going to happen. The local politicians cannot get it together again. Therefore, there is going to be the withdrawal of this legislation. Full stop. What are you going to do about it?
Well, what am I going to do about it? Well, Stephen, I work every single day, and I have done for 23 years, to protect vulnerable unborn children and their mothers. That's not going to change. I will continue to ensure that the unborn child has a voice in the public square and wherever that child needs to be protected. And I will ensure that every woman with an unexpected pregnancy is given real health care, real support, and services will be increased to ensure that those women do not feel that abortion is their only option or their only choice.
I can see lots
in
of you.
In a humane society, we should care for the most vulnerable. And there's nobody most vulnerable in our society than an unborn child in the womb who cannot speak or even lift his or her head to speak. So we have to ensure that those children are protected. Whether a law is passed or not does not make any difference to the voice of the pro-life majority, who will continue, Stephen, to rise up in great numbers. We've launched our Fight Back campaign. We're out in the streets actively raising the profile and being a voice for the unborn child on this most important.
But you mentioned the politicians. Have you seen the DUP coming out vocally about this recently?
Well, the DUP were there on Friday night at the event.
Have you seen them holding major press conferences around this? Have you seen them fighting about this, shouting about this? I haven't.
Well, I hope that they will do, because there was a very clear message went out on Saturday from the many speakers there that there must be a massive lobby campaign to Sinn Féin and to the DUP to ensure that they do everything within their power, or the reality is there will be a blame game, because who will be to blame for the loss of every unborn child?
Stephen, I'd like to just challenge this idea that people here have had no say in this, because the United Nations The United Nations came here in 2016, actually we asked them to initiate an investigation, because the CEDAW Committee on Women's Rights had recommended change in abortion law so many times. Bernie, I let you talk, so just keep it down. They had come here because we asked them to investigate, because there was no clear pathway for this law being changed, so we needed the UN to intervene. They came here, they interviewed loads of people. I did an interview with them as someone who had had an abortion. They interviewed the politicians, they interviewed the human rights organisations, they interviewed all the medical practitioners. They wrote up their inquiry. They made really strong recommendations. They said that the abortion law here was a systematic abuse of women's rights. Then the Women and Equalities Committee in Westminster had an inquiry. Again, everybody, it was a full public consultation. Everybody wrote in. They also came here. They interviewed women like me. They interviewed people on the other side of the debate. We submitted, Alliance for Choice submitted 160 stories of women who've travelled for abortions or who've had abortions using illegal pills. A lot of people here have had a say in getting this to this point. This has not been imposed by Westminster. We have been asking Westminster to do this for so many years, and now they are finally taking responsibility.
You don't represent the people either.
Absolutely. I'm involved in a campaign for 23 years that has petition after petition that has clearly made the views of the people known. And the reality is there is no right to abortion.
Views of some people.
The Universal Declaration of Human Rights recognised the
That's really misrepresenting how human rights works, Bernie. There are human rights that are impacted by the lack of abortion access. There are human rights like health, the right to private and family life. These things are all impacted by the lack of access to abortion.
Calm down, Kelly, please. You're speaking over me. There is
Sound
no
like
right
David Cameron
abortion.
Now.
There is no right to abortion. And the reality is the Northern Ireland Assembly spoke in 2016. The views of the people were represented when there was an opposition to any change in the law. The CEDAW committee is a quango. It's a committee only. It doesn't represent the courts of the UN. It actually represents itself. It goes into countries where abortion is illegal and tries to force its opinion
okay.
on. But the reality is the United Nations...
The United Nations Committee is not a quango.
...actually indicates the rights of the child, and the child should be protected by reason of his physical and mental immaturity. And these children need
okay.
safeguards and care.
Okay, there are lots of us calling from home this morning. Here's the number today, 03030 80 55 55. Two of the big issues that have been at the centre of lots of controversy and division and disagreement in Northern Ireland could be changing quite fundamentally within the next year or so. I don't know if you saw what Lord Duncan was saying. Preparations for introducing same-sex marriage to Northern Ireland are going full steam ahead. Lord Duncan has said that it will be the law of the land by 2020. This is less than 7 weeks to go now is what we have until the 21st of October. We still don't have, of course, a local devolved government. So what does that mean? Well, Lord Ian Duncan, the Northern Ireland Office Parliamentary Under Secretary of State, has said the following about same-sex marriage. Everything is on schedule. It's a big job, but we will deliver it. And we have not experienced any pushback. We were fearful that there would be perhaps a campaign or opposition to this in Northern Ireland, but there hasn't been. This will be the law of the land. And once we get past the October 22nd deadline, we will deliver it full stop. So think about the fundamental change that there's going to be to abortion legislation here in Northern Ireland. According to Lord Duncan, it's going to be same-sex marriage is going to be the law of the land by next year in Northern Ireland. So lots of for you to talk about. 03030 80 55 55. Peter and Killyleagh. Morning, Peter.
Hi. Basically, I believe all women have a right to have an abortion, but there's just one sort of question, I think. What is the problem with everyone? When does the soul come into it? Does the baby have a soul when it's born?
When does the what?
When it's conceived, the soul. You're a Christian, I take it. So you must believe that a child has a soul. So is it, does it arrive at the time of conception or when the baby's born?
Peter, thank you. Michael in White Abbey next. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen. Is Bernie still there?
Yes, she is.
Well, Bernie, I would like to tell you a story. I'm 78 years of age, and my wife, 50 years ago, was pregnant, and she was in the Royal Victoria Hospital for our first ultrasound. And I told my wife at 2 or 3 months that the baby had a fatal abnormality. And what happened, my wife had told her that the baby wouldn't live very long. And my wife had to carry that child right through till she was 9 months, till the 9 month period. And the baby was born and the baby died. Now, Bernie, could I ask you, would you like to be in that situation?
Well, I am part of an organisation that cares for...
No, I'm sorry, love.
I'm answering you. I've been involved with many women in Northern Ireland who have received that very tragic news that their baby had a fatal abnormality or was terminally ill in the womb. And there is a great helpline support group called Every Life Counts. They care and support women throughout that difficult journey of their life. And there is no shortcut through grief, and everybody's heart is very much with the parents when they receive that devastating news. But we believe that child is equally as important as the mother, and should be protected in the womb. And it's kinder to the mother and the unborn child to continue with the pregnancy.
Well, let's let Michael reply to that.
Could I reply to that, please? If you tell me that it's better for a baby to do the full pregnancy and your wife be aware for 7 or 8 months, but when that baby is born, the baby will die. The baby lied that my baby lived for 45 minutes and then it died. Now, you picture the stress my wife had. Now, can I say something to you? The law is changing. Go along with it. And I'm saying no more.
Michael, thank you. Malachi has a question for Kelly this morning. Go ahead, Michael.
Hello.
Malachi, sorry. Good morning, Malachi.
Yes, hello, Stephen. No, I would like to ask Kelly, do you know the way abortion is already allowed in England and more or less all over the world? Why does she think that so many women, you know, make the choice to have an abortion whenever there are so many other alternatives which don't result in the death of the baby? Why did she think that they choose to go that direction?
Well, I think the fundamental thing there is knowing that as a woman, this is something that is happening inside your body, and it's very hard to explain what bodily autonomy is, but, you know, to know that you are, your whole body and everything about you is being affected by this experience of being pregnant, really, it's hard for anybody to understand that unless they're capable of being pregnant themselves. For me, I had an abortion very early. That was important to me, to have an abortion as early as possible. I had a lot of circumstances going on in my life that led me to the point where, while there may have been other options I could have gone down, the right one for me was to not continue with that pregnancy.
Why?
Well, I have to say, fundamentally, nobody can stand over a woman's decision and make her justify it. But I will share my story because I think it's important to help people understand. So for me, I had 2 young children. My youngest was only 7 months old at the time. I was still breastfeeding him. I had experienced a period of very severe postnatal mental health issues, postnatal anxiety, that had brought mental health issues into my life that I'd never experienced before. Panic attacks, locking myself in my bedroom. I was just starting to come out the other end of that and see the light at the end of the tunnel when I got pregnant again. And that was really terrifying to me. I had other things going on financially. I wasn't in a great shape, living in a house that was a struggle to keep up payments on and was too small for a larger family. And it was just a very straightforward decision for me to have that option on the table to say, this pregnancy is not right for me right now.
And for those people who would say to you, Kelly, that, look, you had mental health issues at that time and hopefully you've got better now and you've improved, is that not a reason to say to people who are considering an abortion, things could change in the future, so therefore let's protect the life of the child because things will change?
I think that there is definitely an argument for making sure that we have all the supports that are necessary around women. And actually, for myself in the women's sector and the work that I do, I campaign for perinatal mental health services. I campaign for childcare services. I campaign against welfare cuts like the 2-child cap that force women into poverty. Reproductive justice means let's get all the conditions, the social conditions right so that women don't have to make choices that they feel are they're not right for them. But that was the right choice for me regardless. I know it was. And I, you know, my family is complete now. My circumstances have changed, but my family is complete.
I'm not sure where that last caller went. Has he gone? He's dropped off. Bernie, do you want to reply to that?
Well, I think the first question that we need to ask is, when does life begin? And the life of a baby begins long before he or she is born. That new individual begins at the moment of conception. And that's a scientific fact. It's not an opinion.
It's not a scientific fact.
It's a scientific fact, Kelly.
It's an ethical assumption. That's okay for you to believe that, but
is from the biological point of view, simple and straightforward matter. It begins at conception.
In your view,
it's quite a minority. It's quite a minority view.
If you let me finish, I've had 4 children, and I've actually got 6 grandchildren, and each of those little children, including my own 4. When I did that first pregnancy test, I knew I was pregnant. When I had my first scan, I knew there was a baby there. So the reality is, what happens during pregnancy when we talk about the other person involved in the pregnancy? Is there as a human being there? That human being may be smaller at different stages of development. It may have, it lives in a different environment. It may be more dependent on the mother. But the reality is, it's no less human.
Okay.
The highest level of development, environment, and dependency does not undermine or underestimate
okay.
the precious little child.
To really believe that life begins at the point of conception, we would have to do away with a lot of contraceptive pills. I mean, the idea that life begins at that moment of conception is a minority view. Most people accept
it's
that
really
is not
scientific
the
fact,
case.
Kelly. You know, and the reality
there
is,
are ethical decisions that need to be made, and that's for a woman really to decide.
An animal,
no, let's not shout over each other.
No, I would like to finish. It is a
well,
human
I would
being.
Like to host the programme this morning, Bernie. Here's
well,
Paul.
Great, Stephen.
Thank you very much. Here's Paul next. Morning, Paul.
Good morning, Steve.
By the way, Boris Johnson is due to be speaking in Dublin today. He's meeting the Taoiseach. We'll be taking that press conference, which he's due to hold. We'll take it live on the programme this morning and let you hear the very latest on Brexit. Go ahead, Paul.
I think there should be an extension to the deadline for the 31st of October because it gives more time to sort of negotiate deals and also give more time to sort of, like I said, negotiate a deal because it's too close to the wind for the next few months, I think, to be honest, Stephen. You know, and,
fundamental change
don't forget,
coming
don't
to
get done by the time the 31st of October comes.
It's 21st of October. Fundamental change coming to Northern Ireland around those two big issues that have been argued about, and there's been so much division and debate.
This, but nothing's been done at all.
Around abortion, around same-sex marriage, and here we could have legislation on both being changed within the next few months.
Ian and Newton Abbey
next morning, Ian.
Yeah, all the best.
Morning, Stephen. Forgive my throat. I have a bad throat. Listen, just two quick points. Well, I think the key point in this is what is human life? I wrote to the Human Rights Association and the director wrote back to me, Human Rights of Northern Ireland. And I wrote to him and said, what do you believe a human is? And that's your raison d'etre, human rights. And he couldn't reply to me what a human is. So what are we destroying in the womb? What are we ripping up in the womb of a woman? Is it human life or is it not? That's the question that goes to the fundamental. We're stopping human life in the name of progress. This is all that I hear is progress. This is progressive. There's actually a new organization in Malta that has started up for young people called Progressive Beings. And we're destroying them in the womb. So what is a human life? And also, I don't really want to get into...
Well, a human life is also the mother and her right to decide for herself what happens to her body, is it not?
Very good.
And I'm interested in hearing from lots and lots of men this morning, by the way, on the programme. But you do realise that a mother may want autonomy for her own body.
It's not her body, it's destroyed in the womb.
Hold on, can I just say something, Stephen?
Yes.
You just agreed with me because you said human life is also a mother. So you're agreeing they're both humans.
Do you believe a mother has the right to decide what happens to her own body?
Could you answer my question? Do you believe they're both humans?
A person who's pregnant, first of all, may or may not be a mother. I was a mother whenever I had an abortion.
Hold on, now let Kelly speak. No.
I was a mother when I had an abortion because I had two children at home. But when someone is pregnant, that's the point where they are deciding if that's what is going to be in their future. Now, the key thing for me is that people like Precious Life are trying to defend a law that carries with it the sanction of life imprisonment for a woman for ending a pregnancy. And as I said earlier, 90% of pregnancies are ended before the period has passed where a woman would even tell someone she was pregnant, very, very early on. And are we going to impose life imprisonment on people for making a decision like that that's so personal to them? I mean, for me, I did something. I travelled to England, so I did it where it was legal. But Bernie defends a law that makes that life imprisonment. So she thinks that I did something that I should be in prison for, that my two children should have to visit me in prison, should have to grow up without their mother for ending a pregnancy. And when you put it in that kind of perspective...
There's no woman ever been in prison for having an abortion, an illegal abortion. Kelly, I think you probably... another.
Why do you defend that law then, Bernie? Why do you want that law?
I defend the right to life. And you just said there earlier, I quote, you had your abortion early.
As do 90% of people who have abortions.
What's the difference in killing an innocent unborn child in the womb at an earlier stage or a later stage? It is still the violent destruction of an innocent unborn child. In fact,
the reality, Bernie Smith, well, it's not murder, is it?
It is murder.
Because
it's murdering an innocent child who cannot lift its head.
Of course, murder suggests
for years we've had
murder suggests an illegal act, and it is not. murder.
Murder doesn't. It is murder.
For years we've had people like Bernie trying to bully us, trying to call us murderers, and we're not taking it anymore. You're doing it right now, Bernie.
One second, Bernie. Let's not shout over each other.
You literally just said it's murder. So
I said abortion is murder.
Yeah, so if
you're... Well, then you tell me it's not. What is it then?
No,
what is abortion?
Stop, Bernie, please.
My point is... You have been using this word murder. You're essentially saying that people who have abortions are murderers. And we are not going to take that bullying any longer. I stood on that platform on Saturday and I spoke with someone who's had an abortion and I called out to all of the thousands of other people in this country who've had abortions and I said, we have nothing to be ashamed of. We are not murderers and we will not be bullied by people like you anymore, Bernie.
The reality is abortion is the violent destruction. It murders a human life in the womb, and whether you like it or not, that is the reality of what people here agree with.
Listen, thank you very much. We're going to pause there.